This is Carl Campbell. I'm interviewing Shirley Marshall. The date is August the 1st, 1986. We're at Shirley Marshall's home. I was just out there. It's beautiful land, too.
Oh, yeah, it's just lovely.
I was looking at the different forms, and I noticed snipes are married to the kirks and married to the tears are married to the Stanfords are married to the MacGyvers are married.
That's true.
It really is. When did you first come to Chapel Hill?
You're not 1968.
Where did you come from?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? Why did you leave Philadelphia to come to Chapel Hill?
Well, I wouldn't want to stay in Philadelphia if you come to Chapel Hill. Well, it's my husband was a full professor of English at Penn, and he took a job as a full professor of English down here. Sometime before he actually got that job, he was asked to come down as a visiting professor in the spring of 1968 at Duke. And then when we got the job, that fit in sort of well, or it should have fit in well. And just a week before we were going to go back, move in that spring, my husband and little girl were killed in an automobile accident. And so I had some decisions to make in a hurry, and that big old house we had in Philadelphia, we were on our way out, and I guess the thing that really, really made me decide very, very quickly, though I think that in that kind of a situation the family was so. Where I still had two daughters left. And so Judy had been accepted as an in-state student at the University of North Carolina after her junior year, Penn Central. And I just settled on that, and I said, we're going to go. And everybody thought I was crazy. And I realize now I had a lot of good. But it was a good move.
And you have another daughter, Judy and
Susan.
How old are they now?
Susan's 32 and Judy's 35. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Time passes, doesn't it?
Right, certainly.
Well, I was reading over an article the other day from the early 70s. I saw in the paper on you, and it said that you were involved in politics almost as soon as you arrived here.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
That may have been that one about the gardens, really. Was that recent one?
No, this
one. I don't know, but I guess I was involved in politics almost as soon as I got here. I was still in shock and didn't know too much about it. But I moved down. I didn't want to move into an apartment, but I moved down into a townhouse apartment. And the person that lived up above me invited me up. Well, I'd already moved over here, actually, but we done a lot of talking about things, and she invited me over on New Year's, as a matter of fact, to have a drink. And she said, you haven't got anything to do, you ought to get involved in Howard Lee's campaign. And I looked up at her and I said, of all things, who the hell's Howard Lee? As closely as I've been involved with Howard, which is not what we're here to talk about, that really is kind of funny, but away from the point, I guess. But anyway, I did get involved in that mayoral campaign, and I wasn't even allowed to vote, because in those years you had to live in the state a year before
That's
you
right.
could vote, as hard as I would. And then, let's see, that was 69, and I still was not really out too much. I met some friends and all. But then Mary Prothero resigned from the Board of Aldermen, and in 72, and Alice Welch, who'd been on the Appearance Commission, was appointed in her place, and I was appointed to the Appearance Commission, and that was the first, so that was in 70, that I about May of 70, I guess, that I went on the Appearance Commission, and that's when I began to learn something about land use planning and people and that. And then in 1972, Jimmy Wallace had run in June. The Oldham elections were in June then. And he, at that time, he couldn't hold an election-appointed office. Governor Holzhauser appointed him to the Division of Environmental Management Commission, or whatever it was called then. It had a previous name. And he had to give it up, so he had to resign. He wanted to go on that very badly, so he's still on. And he gave that up. And then they had to look for somebody else, and I had been active in both in politics, and a lot of stuff goes on. Everybody that hadn't made the decision, it tells me a different story. But nevertheless, I was appointed to the Board of Aldermen at that time. And that was March of 1972. And as I referred to you earlier, almost immediately we had an executive session before we'd ever had a regular session. And a university representative was there. And the sale of the utilities had been passed, but the sale of the water and the sewer were omitted from the utilities. And Alan Waters was there, and I think maybe John Temple too. And they were there to say, now this is what we're going to do. We're going to sell the water and our half the sewer plant to the town of Chapel Hill for a dollar. And then you will go out for the bonds for the Cane Creek in September. That would be September of 1972. We were supposed to do that. And even then we thought, you know, what are we getting into to run all this system? But then politics, and politics that I didn't understand at that time, but there were big politics that were working to throw the sale of the water and sewer into the sale of the utilities. And there was a John Church called a meeting of his committee, and he didn't tell the mayors about it or anybody. And Howard did find out about it and got there, but it was too late to do anything. They didn't want anything about them, and they threw the utilities into the general sale. And that's when things got very, very complicated for local officials. Very complicated. Now, there was some time, some things that had gone on before I got involved that probably are somewhat important. And after the drought of 1968, the university had a study made by Hazen and Sawyer, who are some of the best environmentalists who know that, and they identified Cane Creek as the best and purest possible source for the water. Also, and by 1972, and the Public Law 92-500 was passed, and that was the Clean Water Act. And that's where you had to have your 201 studies and your 208 studies, and you had to, and the government was going to pay for a lot of them, and it just took all planning and took it to pieces. And I really do think that if anybody had had any idea what was going to happen, we would have said, yo, 92-500, we'll do that afterwards. See, oh, another thing I forgot, someplace around 1970, I guess, at the university had started to collect the surtax on our water bills, and that was supposed to be put into a fund for improvements later on. I'm not saying it wasn't put into a fund, but the fund never showed up because they made improvements, and they made specific improvements which had something to do with the whole area of what was happening. So, but I do truly believe we had in our budget that year $400,000 to upgrade Chapel Hill's wastewater treatment plant. People don't remember now, but we were running out of water and sewer capacity at the same, water and our sewer treatment capacity at the same time. And if we had moratoriums and things, particularly after we'd done the 92-500. But I really believe we would have gone ahead and done what we had to do, and the university would have gone ahead and built Cane Creek, and the whole thing would have been over with very fast. I'm not saying that the poor people on Cane Creek wouldn't have been trampled on, but all of us governmental types that were into a situation that was so unlikely and so complicated. And one of the strengths of local officials is that you have lay people. If you get people that have too much experience and get too much professional, then you're not getting the representation, the lay representation that our system of government calls for in local government. So,
well, that's kind of interesting then that the town of Chapel Hill wasn't interested in taking over the water and then...
Oh, yeah, we were interested. It was the church committee and something on the state level that took it out. It probably had to do with the financing and the prices that Duke and Southerndale would get, I think, that for all the bids they took. And then there was a consumer utility corporation that came in, and they wanted to buy the utilities, and they worked like mad and put together a beautiful proposal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bureaucracy wasn't going to accept that, but I've never felt so strongly that my constituents wanted it. They all wanted it, and it was a legitimate proposal. That may have been another mistake we made to vote for CUC, but that's what our people wanted, and a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah. So then when OWASA was formed, that's later, right? That was formed?
Well, OWASA was formed, it was all as an outgrowth of these jumbling up times that I've told you about. And I think that the only point that I really want to make is to make it understood that the university, which you probably know, is as big a bureaucracy as can possibly be put together. They did their good, accurate consulting study. They believed in it. They had good environmental engineers. The decision was made as far as they were concerned. And they, of course, would have gone out and condemned the land and expected it had to be implemented because we needed the water. They knew in 1972 that they needed the water. Then they didn't know about the sale of utilities then. So then they told us, that's when they came and told us, now we're going to sell this to you. We've got to divest ourselves of it. So we'll sell it to you for $1. And you'll go out for a bond issue to build Cane Creek. And in the meantime, we're going to use the money that we're collecting on the surcharge, and we're going to upgrade the wastewater treatment plant, not the wastewater, the water treatment plant, so that it can receive the water from Cane Creek. And it was decided by the university in 1969, and that's all there was to it. I mean, the engineers put it aside, and that's the way it was going to be, and it was a good decision. I mean, now that, I'm sorry the way that people got hurt, and I'm sorry that the way things happened, but it was a good decision, and it was a legal decision, too, about the best possible source. So, then that was back in 69, and they forgot about it, and I'm sure that the people, this is just perceptions, the people out in the farm community, well, I know this is true. They heard about this. They heard of Cane Creek, and it was in a study and all, and they probably were pretty upset about it, and they thought they'd have to develop that and watch what that was going to develop. And they never heard anything more about it. And so they just assumed that it had gone away. And so that by the time that we actually reformed the Orange Water and Sewer Authority, and had to make a decision for many reasons because the original one just wasn't working. We came up with an absolute difference of perceptions from one farm community here and one bureaucracy here.
Yeah.
And I must say I didn't understand either of those groups like they did now. I spent 4 years working in state government and NRCD, and the only good thing I can say about it is that I did learn how bureaucracy worked. I learned all about it.
Was that the ends? The
Natural Resources and Community
Okay.
Development. And I learned how a big bureaucracy works, and that it has certain rules of its own and the way it thinks and so forth. I've also worked with people a whole lot more. I've worked with communities and public information and getting people involved in their own decisions. And I understand a whole lot more about the way that kind of a community works. So I always wanted to reach out to them, and except in the King Creek, I've done a pretty good job of protecting them. I mean, it was just horrible when they brought that, put that airport thing in on top of them. I mean, that was just the last straw.
That's which airport now?
Midway Airport. That's dead now. Mm-hmm. But that was just really the last straw as far as they're concerned. So the church commission managed to throw the water and sewer into the utilities sale. Now my next gripe in knowing more about what happened, again, it's a big bureaucracy, and this time it was a bureaucracy that's supposed to help local officials, and generally for every day work we have that with the local government commission and the Institute of Government and all that. So the Carver officials and Chapel Hill officials and Orange County officials were all asked to meet one afternoon over in the Carolinian. And we had all the big wisdom coming up there to tell us in 2 hours the choices we had on water. And that stone, when Jake Wicker was there, and Milton Heath was there, and Pearson Stewart was there, and Harlan Boyles was there, who was then secretary of the local government commission, as treasurer now, J.D. Pastor, and some other experts were there. I can remember them. And they got up and they all told us all this stuff that we really didn't understand and tried to do it. But what came out to us, who were on the Chapel Hill Town Board, that the county commissioners, obviously, are the ones that ought to take over the water for the whole water and sewer for the whole county. And if they had only done it. I mean, I don't even have anybody to tease anymore, but after I got on the commissioners and Richard Whitted was still on there anyway, and I'd always say to him, now, if you all hadn't stuck your noses up at us and took over your responsibility then, and I know, it was the worst mistake we ever made.
How could it have been easier with them, do you think?
Well, because it would be now one system. And we probably would have developed Cane Creek and Seven Mile Creek at the same time. Mm. Would have been a lot cheaper. We could do it with our citizens involved. And no, it just would have been a really better decision, but I don't really blame the county commissioners, but they listen to that, and we all sitting looking at them after it's over, about to say, you know, this sounds good, and the whole county commission got up and said, well, we're not going to have anything to do with that, and walked out of the room. And I don't blame them, I really don't, as I say, I again blame this helping bureaucracy, and everybody knows how I feel, I'm told. Each and every one of them, that what they should have done was taken us away on a 2-day retreat, every one of us, and really going into all the different things that happened, that our responsibilities and what we could do and how it would come. But the only thing that was really left was the water and sewer authority.
Mm-hmm. Let me stop and see if I can clarify my thinking a little bit then. About when was this meeting at the Carolina Inn that you were talking about?
It would have been in either the late summer or early fall of 72.
Okay.
It was that thing happened sometime between I got on the board in 72 and the church commission met, not telling anybody, in July, I think. So it could have been August, it could have been September.
And at that point, then, Cane Creek was already a foregone conclusion because of the university's decision back in 69.
It was, as far as the university was concerned. Mm-hmm. And with the public law 92-500, which absolutely says that you do not have a choice of water supplies unless you have, you know, equal quality, that the purest and best water is what you must choose.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no doubt that this was the purest and the best water. And so that's where we were looking towards it. Now, I don't know too much about what happened really when that first grouping of Owosso was formed. I knew a few people that were on it, but we went off with other things and had other problems and so forth, and I really didn't. We didn't get many reports, and we wanted to get reports. And I was alerted that something was wrong. Never forget it. It was about 2 days before Christmas, and I hadn't done a thing. I hadn't so much as baked a cookie. I hadn't bought anything. And here I am, a widow, a couple of children, and I was off doing town business and going to meetings and do all these things, and I came in, stopped at the store and got some cookie things and came in and said, you know, I have a day and a half and I'm not going to pay any attention to anything. With that, the telephone rang, and it was Flo Garrett, who was at that time chairman of the county commissioners and chair of the Orange Water and Sewer Authority. It's falling apart. It's awful. They're running out. You've got to do something about it. I'm the only elected official. You guys have got to do something about it. And the follow-up of that, and people didn't know, was when we moved in on it. Well, we just fired the people that were on Owosso. And Carver and Chapel Hill put all elected officials on.
Okay, now what had happened that had made it fall apart?
I really don't remember. I think they weren't making decisions, and they, I don't remember the details mm-hmm. of it.
But this would have been then in 74, I guess, or?
When?
I know the first meeting with the Cane Creek folks was in 76, so.
Yes, that was in 76, but, in 76, wasn't it? Yeah.
In October, I think.
Yeah.
So this must have been before then.
Well, not too long before that.
Okay,
you know, it would probably, that must have been then the Christmas of 75.
Okay.
Because we went ahead and did it, and much to everybody's horror, the press that doesn't understand, and they still don't understand about Owosso. What's written into the enabling legislation is that the towns can remove their representatives for cause or for no cause. And whenever that's written in, that means it's your responsibility, it's not their responsibility, they're acting for you, they're not acting on their own, which Owosso doesn't like, and in fact the lawyers are trying to prove that otherwise. And our jurisdiction should be much more involved now than they are. But anyway, that's the clause under which we did it, and then we started to, of course, some of us, we had new people on the Board of Aldermen by then, but by then I was pretty knowledgeable. I'd been on and seeing what was happening. And one of the first decisions that had to be made was to reaffirm the university's decision on Cane Creek. And so
when Owosso was falling apart, what Flo Garrett meant by that was that the organization wasn't working well, and it
wasn't coming up with its decisions, but I really don't remember.
Okay.
I remember the pressures after that and how we put it together, and Jimmy Wallace, you know, wanting to go through with it and then not wanting to. And
the decision then was to put elected officials.
We clearly replaced the people with elected officials, not. Orange County left Paul Morris on and Arturo on. Everybody had three then, and Jimmy was happy to have this happen because he felt Chapel Hill should have more representation. But it went to 5-2-2, five people from Chapel Hill, two people from Orange County, and two people from Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And Arturo was still on, so I don't know. Maybe we only replaced with four elected officials from Chapel Hill, but I went on, and Bob Epting went on, and John House went on. And then Braxton Fushi and Ernie Patterson were aldermen over in Cobb. And so there we were. And one of the first things we had to do was move along, we had to renew this. And I'm not sure that everybody right now, still, some of the people they've had, have reaffirmed the Cane Creek one 100%. But up until about 2 years ago, there's nobody that has been pointed to Wausau that hasn't reaffirmed the Cane Creek decision. It was a good decision. And to many of us, it will do more to preserve the agricultural lifestyle out there than it would ever do to disrupt it. Because we have to keep the water pure, we have to protect it, we'll have a large area out there that will be open. We're not allowing any building on the lake. And people were speculating with land out along 54 from the time I came to town. People would come up to me, we're putting a package together and this is going to be worth so much money. And they were widening 54 in those days, and it closed off for a couple of years. And as soon as 54 was open again, you know, the houses started going up. And I can remember talking to Eddie Mann once, and I'm not sure that Eddie Mann then even was on the commission. Bank, and I said, you know, and of course he was married to Jean Stanford. And I said, you know, Eddie, it's really very discouraging because I think there's so much change coming out there. And I think that this reservoir, this Cane Creek thing, gives them something to focus on, to say they don't want it. And he said, you know, you may be right. You wouldn't be able to tell my wife that, but you may be right.
That's interesting. It's kind of what now that they're focusing on this is...
Well, that they were then. I mean, most of them have accepted it now. But, you know, you could only look back. But I truly felt all along there was a development that was coming there and the housing speculation and all that, there wasn't a chance for it. And that the lake would make a difference, the reservoir, and protecting the reservoir would make a difference. And in the end, if we're able to keep farming out there, that this will have, having the lake out there will be a great portion of what we, of keeping it. However, the PR from Wausau isn't any better now than it was that very first time. And I think that you probably want to know a little bit more about those days and not write about this day. I mean, all these things are important. When we met, before we were going to go out there and talk to them, Paul Morris, an art hero, and Alan Walder said, now, our lawyer's going to talk, and Everett's going to talk, and nobody else is to open their mouth. And we said, what? You know, but absolutely. I mean, it's almost militaristic. And so we got out there. We know what we're doing, and we know what to say, and none of you said. We didn't decide that that was the time to do it, but we were appalled. Not only were the people appalled, but here were constituents and folks that wanted some answers. And that was the most ugly, most disastrous meeting that I have ever in my life attended. And there was really, makes me just shrink right now that I was had anything to do with it. And Flo felt the same way. And we really were upset, and they weren't even giving any information to the people. Information, they said they didn't have it or they'd do it afterwards. Information that had been in my living room for months. And Flo had it and all. So before we left that night, Flo Garrett and I agreed with Ed Johnson to go out the next Sunday night and bring all the documents out and talk with them about it. My car was just, the trunk of my car was loaded up with all this stuff. Got out there, Johnson,